Genesis chapter 1. Praise God. What's that? Oh, yeah, Greg and Marie, their anniversary. When is it? The 22nd. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. Why don't y'all stand up? Okay. I should have had y'all stand up. God. The 22nd. And I think they going on, I think they said 10 years. No. No. You don't want to go back. It's going to be, what, 36 years. Oh, and it's, congratulations, guys. Congratulations. You may be seated. Amen. 36 years. Wow. Wow, that's great. Yes. Amen. Amen. Who says marriage doesn't work? The devil. But God instituted marriage between a man and a woman. That's how God set it up. Don't buy into what the world says is right, because it always changes. But the Word of God, this Word never changes. What He said is truth hundreds, thousands of years ago is still truth today. Still truth today. Amen. So we need to stand by what the Word of God says, by what He says. Amen. On July the 8th, I know last Sunday I preached on a living God, the living God that we serve. I mean, a living God. And you know, on July the 8th, there was a word that came forth that I was preaching, and this is what was quoted, and I didn't realize, you know, you're just preaching, and the Spirit of God will come on a people or a person and just speak things, and the Spirit of God does that. And the words that I said was, a living God living in a living being doing a living work. So, here God is working and doing mighty things. So last week I talked about a living God. A living God. I mean that He is alive, people. That we don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a God that's on vacation. Now, people that serve other gods besides the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, their gods are made with stone, hay, stubble, all these things that man can make, you know, or it's a figment of their imagination or something like that. But that's not the kind of God we serve. We serve the living God that made the heavens and the earth, that made us man in the likeness of Himself. That's the God we serve, living. That He is alive. Can you imagine the Father is sitting in heaven? That He's not sleeping? He's not dozing off? He didn't leave His throne? But He's seated on His throne alive and in control of all things upon the earth, down to the main thing that He's in control of every one of our lives. The main thing. Because you might say, well, is that the main thing? The main thing is the main thing. We are the main thing to God. You might say, well, how do you know that? Because He sent His Son to die upon the cross for you and I, not for the earth itself. To redeem us. Here He is seated in the heavens, alive. His Son is seated on the right hand of Him, alive. The Holy Spirit is roaming the earth and is alive and drawing people unto the Father. That's why it says that we are to go to the Father, pray to the Father through the name of Jesus as the Holy Spirit works upon people's lives and doing a mighty work. But a living God, living in a living being. Now I want to kind of tackle that. Living, we have a living God in the heavens. Living in a living being. It's amazing. He's living in us. Now, you might say, has that always been? Well, let's look at Scripture and we're going to see what happened through the ages. In Genesis chapter 1, look at verse Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back to the beginning of time. Well, beginning of time with mankind. Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 26 and 27. And it says this, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." So here we see in the beginning, God created. Now, God had already created all the angels. Okay? That's all been created already. God had already created the earth, everything in it. God had already created everything in our atmosphere. Everything was created. The last thing he creates is man. And he turns. Now, it's an amazing thing. It says, the scripture says in verse 26, it says, "Let us," talking about the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, "let us make man into our image." Like him. Like him. So we have to remember this. From the time of Adam till today, God created man in the image of him. Now you might say, well, we all look different. We all look different. Yes, that's the physical part. But also he made us have a spirit, soul, and body. Three. Just as God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three. He created all these things in us to be like him. Not to be a God, as some have preached. No, 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 no. We're not God. But to be like our Creator, inhabited by God in us. Now let's go to another scripture. Remember, we're talking about a living God or living in a living being. Look at verse chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. It says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." That means he made the physical body from the clay of the ground, "and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Here we see God made Adam. He made the physical body. I mean, he made him in the image of himself, as we are in the image of our God this day. But it says something unusual, because we know this, that our God and your God is the giver of what? Life. That's why abortion is so wrong. It ends life. It's death. God says don't do it at all. It kills. It destroys. God is the giver of life. So when God created Adam, he was just there. The physical body was there. It's like going to the funeral home. I hate to be morbid, but you know, you go to the funeral home and everybody goes to the casket in the front and we look. That's, if you want to basically put it in the direction, that's how Adam looked. Because you see, when we look into the casket, we see the physical body of the person, but the true life giver and the true life in them is gone. It's gone. It's gone. And we hope heaven. We hope heaven. But here, can you imagine, as Adam is laying, I don't know, on the ground maybe, on a table, I don't know, wherever, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the life giver, living in a living being like us, alive and well, the one that created everything upon the earth, and no telling what other galaxies that we don't even know of. No telling what's going on beyond what we can see as far as man can go. That as he looks at Adam, it says the life giver, can you imagine? Has to get up somehow and goes to this lifeless being of nothing except clay. But God created him. And his mouth breathes into his nostrils. And it says the life giver gave life to Adam. Life. Now, when we're born, you know, when we come out of our mothers, we were alive. Well, we were alive before that. But alive, as far as breathing on our own, life is there. That's something we inherit from our mothers and our fathers. Life. But you see, God gave the spirit and the soul as he breathed into Adam. Gave him his spirit and his soul. Now, that's why it's so important. We go back to the scenario of Adam and Eve, perfect. They had like a veil over them, basically, as they lived in the Garden of Eden. God would come to them and would talk with them. Can you imagine? At the cool of the day, he would come and just talk with them and just tell them all kinds of things. I wonder what questions they would ask him. Their creator, their life giver. The one that was in them now. The one that was in them was on the outside also, giving life constantly to them. But we know old Slewfoot's out there, and he came after them. And God honors the choice of his creation. And we know the scenario, they failed and sin entered in the earth. And that's when death came to the spirit man on the inside. The one that gave life had to depart because they disobeyed God. Now, how faithful is God to his people? Let me tell you this. Even in that scenario, it says God came to talk with them. And they were not available. They were busy. We hide from God sometimes. We think we hide. We think we hide. God came looking for them like every other day and they couldn't be found. And he finally knew where they were at. And they had taken some fig leaves and they had sewn them together and put it over themselves because they realized that they were naked. And God in his faithfulness looked at them and said, it's not good enough. And he took two animals and he skinned them. And he made them better clothes. You might say, well, why did he kill these animals? Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. From the beginning of creation, God turned man back or to the cross of Calvary. Can you imagine? From the beginning of time, it had to be the blood to cover and cleanse, to look to. And it says that God made the clothes and put upon them. And they went and they had to do work and the curse came and all kinds of stuff. But you see, we need to look to God because he is the living God. Now, let me tell you this. This is how good God is. Even in their state of sin, and God came and did all that, God said, I still want to be with my people. You know how lucky we are? And I hate to say lucky, because that's kind of a word, lucky. But we're lucky. That's the only word I kind of... We're lucky. Because even as God had to leave their inward parts of their bodies, and God had to leave the outward part of their bodies, I mean, it was gone. It was gone. That God still came back years later and instituted the tabernacle. Man, you might say, well, what's so important about the tabernacle? God needed a place upon the earth to dwell. He couldn't dwell in man anymore at that time. Because Jesus hadn't died upon the cross. The perfect sacrifice had not been sent yet. Had not been paid for. And still God wanted fellowship with His people. That's how much He cares about us. That's how much He desires a relationship with you and I. Can you imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords desires a relationship with Joe? Can you imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords desires a relationship with you? But He does. He does because of His love and His mercy and His grace towards us. Unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. My God! Unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. And yet He sets up the temple. And the priest could only go in once a year. Once a year to the most holy of holies. But can you imagine if you would go and study the temple, that everything is set up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everything is set up to resemble Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Everything is set up to resemble Him and what He would do. Because He is a living God looking for a place to dwell in. And when that time came, He knew His Son would come. He knew His Son would come and die upon the cross. But He was making amends with man, trying to be there with them to help them. Not to be alone, because you see, the devil wants us to be alone. He does. Because you see, Christians are easy to be picked off one by one. You know when the children of Israel came out of Egypt? They had these madmen, they would call them, that would stay on the fringes way in the back, because it was millions of people. And they would pick off the feeble, the elderly, and destroy them from way in the back. And that's what the devil does. He tries to make Christians be alone. Not to gather with other Christians to come together, Osha. Not to come together to worship the King of Kings, to be together, to see God move on behalf of what the King can do. If Satan can keep people away from church, that's what he wants to do. He wants us to stay away from church. He wants us to not come and fellowship. And you might have good reasons. Sometimes I understand that. Not to be in church. Hey, I understand. But God expects us to come together. Because the devil knows and God knows what happens. The power of God, the presence of God, the Word of God that comes forth to touch our hearts and to touch our lives. That God could be glorified, praised, and honored because He's a living God looking to come in and settle upon a place together. Now you might say, well, can't I have that at home? Yes, you can. God expects us to get with Him during the week and praise Him and honor Him and thank Him for who He is and to feel Him, to feel His anointing, to feel His presence, to have God lead us and guide us as the Word of God, as we're reading this Word and we're meditating upon it, as it comes in our hearts, as it produces fruit and helps us to gain strength from God the Father, because this is His Word. The temple was set up for us. But God had another plan. He said, I know we could have never been there, but I wonder the conversation between God the Father and God the Son. Even before God made man, even before God made the earth, God knew what would happen. He has foreknowledge. He knows it all. He knows it all. But can you imagine the conversation? The Father sitting there, the Son is sitting there, and the Father turns to the Son when it's time and says, there's no other way. He turns to the Son and He says, there's no other way. But if you die, that I can have full communion with my people. I know we often think of the horrors that Jesus went through, and it was horror. It was horror. Can you imagine nails going through your hands? That might happen. That might happen. We just hit our finger with a hammer, and man, we just, Lord, we call it on God and everything, man. Help us. Can you imagine a nail going through your feet? That's hard, people. Can you imagine 39 lashes on your back? Can you imagine having to bring your own cross, drag it almost, because of all the blood you've lost? Can you imagine a crown of thorns? And really, the crown of thorns was making fun of our Savior. Making fun of Him. Oh, He wants a crown? We'll give Him something. Thorns 2 and 3, 4 inches long. And they came and they just put it upon His head and just thrust it in Him. Can you imagine somebody pulling, men, your beard? Just let somebody pull your hair. That's hard. That's rough, huh? But can you imagine, because of the sensitivity of the skin around the face, that somebody pulls that? When you have all the power to retaliate, and you don't. Why? Because of your love for your Father. And your love for the people. But He said, I have to do something, because He's the living God that says, I want to dwell within the living beings of my people. And Jesus came and died on that cross. That's why we can go back to John chapter 3, talking about Nicodemus, when it says how he went up and wanted to know how he could receive Christ into his heart and life. And now, because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, that Jesus is now living in us this day. Because you see, the Spirit was, death was put upon our spirits when Adam and Eve sinned. But when Jesus died on the cross, it gave us the availability of receiving Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And now renewing our spirits back unto Him. Back unto Him. Back unto Him. Back unto Him. The soul addresses the body, which is the mind, the will, and emotions. And the spirit addresses God. And the physical body addresses the world. So it's that spirit man. That spirit man that needed God. In Galatians chapter 2, look at verse 20. Remember this, before I read this scripture, that God was not pleased in being in a building made by man. You need to get that in your spirit. He went from being in Adam and Eve to now he was in heaven, but living in a building now, in a temple. And he was not pleased with that. He did not want it, but he did it out of mercy towards us. But he wanted to live in us, in human beings. That's how much he cares for us. He loves you. He cares about you. He's alive, and he wants to make us alive on the inside of us. Some have come to a place where you're saying, Lord, I'm dead on the inside, seems like. I've been there. I've been there where, let me tell you, death was at my door, it seems like, spiritually. I mean, it's like, oh my God. Oh my God. Lord, what I thought. But you see, everything we think is not truth. Because what does the Word say? When we receive Christ and we ask Him into our lives, that He come and He lives and He what? Abides in us. He just doesn't come for a little visit. No. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He came and He says, I'm abiding in Him and abiding in her. That means He's master. That means He's Lord. That means He's the great God Jehovah of your heart. He's saying, let me lead you. Let me guide you by my Spirit. Let me do a mighty work in your heart. That means we're not on our own anymore. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the living God, is alive on the inside of us. Trying to do a living work in us. Doing a mighty thing in us. Because He cares for His people. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am crucified with... Who was saying that? Paul. Paul was telling that to the Galatian church. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That means when we put our faith in Him, faith in what He did at Calvary's cross, it may seem like we're dying. We're dying to self. We're dying to selfishness. We're dying to the things of this world. But yet on the other aspect, Jesus says, you are alive. Because you're dead to the things of the flesh. That sin nature. Christians have a lot of problems with the sin nature. Say yes. Because that's truth. A lot of problems with it. Doesn't mean that they're not saved, but they have problems with it because their faith is not in the right direction of the cross of Calvary. And when it's not there, the sin nature can rise up. And it controls that person. It controls that person. The sin nature of a Christian. It's still there. But yet, as our faith is in Christ, in Him alone, the sin nature, look at this, becomes dormant. That means it cannot grow anymore. It cannot become alive anymore. Because our faith is in Him. And Jesus is alive on the inside of us. The living God that lives in the heavens. The Father, the Son, becomes alive on the inside of us. Just as... It's only 11 o'clock. Golly, thank God. You saying, my stomach didn't say that. Don't worry about your stomach. Worry about your spirit. No, I'm... In Acts chapter 9, I'll just relate this story. In Acts chapter 9. Here we see Paul. You know, Paul, my God. This man was a very religious man. I mean, he took his religion seriously. Paul, he was Saul before that. Saul thought he was doing God's duty when he would go into homes and take out Christians and kill them. He thought he was doing God's work. I mean, really. But we know the conversion of Saul. Because you see, we serve a living God. And it says that Paul was on his way to Damascus. And he was going to destroy the Christians. And they called them Christians back then. But you know, that wasn't a good term back then. That wasn't a good term for the Christians. But he was going out there to do his duty, to arrest them, to bring them, and subdue them, and to bring them to a place where they would not do the things that they wanted to do, to live for the King of Kings. And he says that as he was gone there, had to be, Christians were praying. He became their number one target, Saul, and they started praying for him. No one is too hard that God can't change their hearts. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Glory. Praise God. No one's too hard that God can't change their lives. No one. No one's too far gone that God can't change their lives and put them on the right track. Look at Saul. You might say, well, Pastor, I think I may have gone too far. No, you haven't. You wouldn't be in church today if you had. There's no way. The devil will try to tell you, you sin so much, or I have sinned so much, that there's no hope for us. That's not truth. There's always hope in God. He's the hope giver. He's a weight lifter. He's our God. He's a living God looking to abide in a living being, in us. No one has gone too far. Now, you might have to ask God to forgive you, and that's what we need to do. But God still has hope for everyone. Hope. Hope. And it says that as he was riding that horse, a light shone, knocked him off that horse, and the Lord spoke to him. And let me tell you, when God speaks, it changes the heart of a person. Have you ever been riding in your vehicle and a song comes on and it touches your heart? It's like, cool. That's the Spirit of the Lord. Have you ever been at home and you're reading your Bible and something just jumps out of that on that page? It's like you just, tears start to flow. That's just the Spirit of God softening the heart of a person. You might say, well, is he making me weak? No, he's making you strong in him. In him. See, the Spirit of God spoke to Saul, changed his name, sent him to a place down the road, and an old buddy came around. To pray over him. And God took the scales off of his eyes. And it's an amazing thing. When the guy went to him, he says, Brother Saul, or Brother Paul. That means he was saved, people, and knew God. No one's too far that God can't draw back by the Spirit of God. No one. No one. Don't listen to that lie of the enemy that will try to tell you that you've gone too far. Well, you've just done it this time. There's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. Well, let me tell you, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. Not from the earth, but from the pit of hell, where it's in the middle of the earth, the pit of hell, that there is always hope. It's an amazing thing that God gives hope to His creation till their last breath. Wow. Makes me want to cry. God gives hope to His people till their last breath. His people or even not His people. That they call upon Him. The thief on the cross. Well, there was two of them. One was cursing Him. One was saying all kind of vile things. If you're God, take me down. Take us down from here. Do something. You might say, well, I've heard people say that. If He was God, why did He let that happen to me? It's not God's fault. It's decisions we make. That God has to let the ripple effect of things happen. Now, He can lessen it, and He can help us, and He can encourage us, and He can be with us. But that other thief on the cross, you know he heard everything that other guy was saying. But his heart started to melt towards the King of Kings that was in the middle. Because he knew, I deserve to be here. That other guy way over there, he deserves to be on that cross and probably worse than that. But he started to look and he said, but this guy here doesn't deserve it. There's nothing vile in his heart. There's no evil upon him. He has been accused of things, but he has not done it. And I don't know if this guy's eyes and the eyes of the King of Kings looked at one another. I seem to think so. You're both suffering. You're both going through something. And they look. It doesn't say in the Word, but I'm telling you what I think. I know they must have caught eyes. And the eyes, just as the King of Kings looked at Peter, you remember? With eyes of love after he had disappointed the King of Kings and denied him three times. That same eyes of love looked at the thief. And the thief just said, Lord, remember me. Gosh, people, remember me. Remember me. I'm about to close. And the living God came into the heart of the thief. He might have been a thief physically, but we're all thieves. We've all stolen spiritually. We've all done evil. We're all sinners. Saved by grace. My God. Saved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let me tell you, when that thief died on that cross, he went to paradise because heaven wasn't open yet. It was waiting for until Jesus died on that cross. And the blood was brought to the Father and heaven was open. And they all were escorted in by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. A living God living in a living being. He's in you. Can you imagine? Our jobs, our workplace, they should thank God that we work for them. I know they won't say it, but we need to believe it. They need to thank their God that we work there. Because every time we walk into that building, God is in us and He's in that building. They don't have to worry about evil things happening because the King of Kings lives in us and He protects us and it overflows even to the evil world. That's the kind of God we serve. Living in us, people. Look, we need to get up tomorrow morning and say, Lord, thank you that I'm alive. But that, Lord, you are alive in me. And thank you for the mighty work that you're doing in my life. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise unto you, my Lord. Praise unto you, my Lord. Father, Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, thank you, Jesus. As every head is bowed just for a minute, every eye closed, I just want to make sure. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you a chance to know him. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to accept him into your heart and life this morning, would you please raise your hand so I can see it? Amen. Or maybe you've been born again, but just some things are happening that you need to confirm it again into your heart. Or maybe you've strayed from God a little bit and you need to come back to him. Would you please raise your hand this morning? I see your hand back there. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Let's all pray this prayer together because we have someone that raised their hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my Lord, that you will lead me and you will guide me and your will be done in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may look this way. Look, guys, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. More than words could say, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and we love you. And I pray you have a great week this week. Amen. Remember, he lives in you. Amen. God bless you. We appreciate you. You have a great day today. Amen.